Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Rajiv Khanna for immigration.com. I have put everybody on mute, and this call is being recorded. Today is January 7th, 2010. As I said, this call is being recorded, so if you have any follow-up questions, you want to protect your identity, that might be a good idea. And this call is supposed to be for community service purposes only. It does not mean that you have hired us to represent you or that we have agreed to represent you. So this call does not create an attorney-client relationship. Let me jump right into it. The first question for the day is from Singh S., who wants to know, they want to change their status from H-1 to F-1. And spouse's H-4 has expired, I-94 has expired, the employer forgot to file an extension. She was out of status for 54 days. Now she has left to India, her home country, and first question is there going to be any problem because she was out of status for 54 days? I don't think that's going to be a problem, sir. If she is less than 180 days and, you know, doesn't get caught or deported during that time, which she wasn't, I don't see any problem with getting a visa stamp in. Hoping that she will get her H-4 visa and will be able to join me in USA soon, should I proceed with change of status from H-1 to F-1 and later file for her H-4 to F-2? I think you should wait until she is in USA and then probably file for change of status for both yourself and her together. I think that's the better thing to do, because the concern here would be this, that if by any hook or crook, if your change of status gets approved before she enters USA, she cannot use her H-4 because you would then be on F-1. So that could become a little problematic. She would have to then go and get her F2 visa stamping done. Next question is Cruz_Pat. I-130 category, are children eligible to get immigrant visa? I'm an Indian citizen by birth, residing in India, 3 children, wife passed away. Mother has filed, US citizen has mother has filed I-130. So, first question, can my children get immigrant visa as dependents? Yes, all the children under the age of 21 who are unmarried can. Can my children... Yes, your children should be able to get they should be able to get the green card through you because it is your mother who applied for you. Only exception to this rule is immediate family, immediate relatives. So if you had been married to a U.S. citizen and you had your children from the first marriage, they would not be automatically included in the application. But in case of an application by your mother for you, your children under the age of 21 who are unmarried would automatically be included. The child who turns 21 is a lot more complicated. There is a lot of information available on CSPA, Child Status Protection Act, on our website, also on State Department website as well as USCIS website. Take a look at that. If something is not clear, you can of course send an email to the consulate also asking them for an answer. But people who are over 21, that becomes a lot more complicated. I cannot answer that question without looking into the facts of the case in detail. You have also asked me a question for a friend of yours who got his passport renewed by the Indian Embassy, Indian Consulate in Texas while he was in USA. Does he need to get passport clearance from Texas or can he get it from the nearest passport office, Ahmedabad? I think Ahmedabad should be fine. I have never run into this situation specifically. But remember that the clearance should be the same whether it comes from Texas or it comes from India. The idea here is that the passport office, which is the same office all over the country, basically, it's all, even the consulates in Texas are basically acting on the same data as the central office or the central data repository in India. So I don't see why this should be a problem. A clearance from any passport office, including Ahmedabad, should be acceptable to the U.S. consulate. But once again, you can double-check that with the consulate. You can send them an email. I don't see why this should be a problem. Ahmedabad should be enough. Princess 07, I would like to know if the sponsor has applied for benefits such as food stamp, child care, will it affect spouse's I-130? No, it should not. If the sponsor is now capable of paying your support, or they're able to support you, and they have filed an I-864, which is the affidavit of support for you, the fact that sometime in the past they had gotten food stamps, etc., I don't think that should hurt your application. Next question, Nina111. Nina's I-140 is stuck at the local office. It was filed in Nebraska. Then I-140 and 485 were moved to Washington, D.C. local office. They don't know what's going on with their case. Now, normally, when an I-140 is moved to the local office, that means USCIS wants to conduct some investigation. That has been my experience. You could try contacting your local congressman and see if they can help you track down what's going on with your case. But as far as I know, in most of these cases, the I-140 transfer to the local office means there is some question or investigation about the case. Next question is Cy4GC regarding H4 to F1 and I-35 questions. Oh, by the way, Happy New Year to all of you. Of course, Cy, thank you for your good wishes, and there are a couple of other people who also said Happy New Year. I wish you all the same. The question here is this. If dependent child, age 16, now in high school applies for F1, does the existing pending 485 still remain valid? Okay, here is, I see what is going on. So you have a 485, and you have a child whose 485 is also pending with you as a derivative. The question is, if she applies for her F1, what does it do to the 485? Well, as far as I understand, INS's comment about this is that F1 and 485 cannot coexist together. Unlike H1 or H4 and 485, you cannot have an F1 and 485 at the same time. When you do file an F1, it's not that they will revoke the 485, they probably will deny the F1. Okay? INS has never made this point clear as to what would happen if you filed an F1 while the 485 was pending, but the implications have been that they will deny the F1. Okay? Second question, if one sees an F1 and there is no pending 485 for her, can I apply 485 in future as my dependent? As far as I know, yes, you should be able to. But if you withdraw the pending 485 just to get her an F1, that may not work, because the form asks not only if your 485 is currently pending, it just says, have you now or has anybody ever applied for a green card for you? And the answer remains yes, even if you withdraw the green card. There is something that is in the back of my mind about your second question, where you asked me, if, let's assume the scenario where she withdraws her 485 and then gets her F1. In the meantime, you get your green card. Can you still apply for her sometime later and just file a 485? Look into the criteria for following to join. This will be a case for following to join. One of my lawyer colleagues mentioned the other day to me that they had some difficulty with following to join when principal had already gotten their green card approval, and he tried to get a 485 filing done for a derivative later on. I have never had any problem with it. So you could look into this a little bit further if you ever decide to do that. Not that there is any practical advantage in withdrawing the 485, but if it did come to that and you wanted to do it, please look into, or have your lawyers look into, this law very carefully. I think it should not be a problem, but I have a colleague who ran into some difficulty. I could not understand the legal basis for his problem, frankly, I don't remember exactly what he had told me, but because he had said something, I am always careful. I want to double-check things. Immigration law can be extremely deceptive and extremely complicated, because there are so many rules and then exceptions to the rules and exceptions to the exceptions, that even if we have 2% doubt, we should always double check it. So here I have some doubt, but I think it can be done. Even if you withdraw, it can be filed later. Okay? Next question. When you file it later, there could be two situations. One situation is that your 485 is still pending. If that is the case, there is absolutely no doubt that her 485 can be filed. But there could be another scenario where your 485 is approved. Can you file a 485 for her, or does she have to go through consular processing? Is she able to do following to join petition? Double check these things. Okay? Next question, Naveen 256. His wife was on H-1B and she has not worked. She took some time off of maternity for over 7 months. Is there a problem? Does she need to get terminated and go into H-4? Naveen, it's very difficult for me to comment about this situation. Typically, what happens is some amount of personal leave, as long as it can be justified as emanating from some personal necessity, can be and should be no problem. So if she had a difficult pregnancy, difficult time with the baby, and later on when the baby came, she could not get back to work for some personal reasons, then those 7 months can be justified. Okay? But if the reason for not going back to work is because the employer doesn't have enough work, that's not going to work. That puts her out of status. So if she's out of status, the million-dollar question is, what if she starts working now after being out of status? And in my opinion, that out of status situation is not cured if she goes back to work again. Okay? So converting to H-4 would be the best thing, and I think H-4 visa stamping would be the best thing. She wants to go back to H-1, they can reapply for her H-1. That would be one choice. Second choice would be, she could go outside USA, get her H-1 visa stamping, and come back. When the consulate finds out that she was out of work for 7 months, they can give her a lot of trouble for the H-1, because it puts into doubt whether there exists a job for her. If they see a situation like that, they can create all sorts of problems. Okay? So, and they would be justified in it, because the law clearly says that if you are working, you must be paid. And if they don't pay you, they have to withdraw the H-1. So I really don't know what to tell you. If she does not have a job, she should convert to an H-4, and she should get an H-4 visa stamping from outside USA. That's what I would recommend. Next question is AKM004A, who says entry on B1 or H4. Happy New Year to you too. I am on H1B and getting married soon. Fiancé is in India. Fiancé holds a 10-year multiple entry B1, B2. Is it necessary that if she were to come with me, she has to enter on H4? Can she enter on a B1, B2? There is no law that says she cannot enter on a B1, B2 if it is her intention to enter and then go back. But if she wants to convert to H4, then using the B1, B2 to enter with you would be wrong, and can be considered to be objectionable by the CBP, Customs and Border Protection, people who go over her paperwork at the airport. So they can basically create a problem about that. My advice would be definitely to get an H-4 visa and come, not to try to enter on a B-1, B-2. And she does not need for you to be present there personally to get her H-4, so there may be some gap in you being back in USA, and she might join you a couple of weeks later. That's okay. It's much better than trying to enter on a B-1, B-2 and then having problems later. Next question is from PUCHHAS. Pacha says, he's got a BCom with 8 years of experience. Now, BCom is usually a three-year degree. I have a couple of diplomas, and I'm currently pursuing CPA. Once I complete my CPA, would I be eligible to apply for H-1B? You would be able to apply for an H-1B even without your CPA, as long as you are working as an accountant. Because you've got a three-year degree in accounting slash business, and you have more than 3 years of experience. So each year of college, less than 4 years, you have to compensate with 3 years of experience. You have 1 year less of college than 4 years. So that means you must have 3 years experience if you want to qualify for H-1. And you have 8 years of experience. Assuming that at least 3 years of that experience is in accounting-related field, you should be able to get an H-1 even now. Would my education be considered to be 16 years? It's 11 plus 3, I assume, or 12 plus 3, so probably not. Your college degree is definitely short 1 year, which you can compensate with 3 years of experience. I think you, by mistake, repeated your question again. We have two postings from the same individual. Next question is from Second Stage, who wants to change their wife's last name to the married name, and they want to do it during the conditional green card process. As far as I know, that should not be a problem. You should be able to change her name during the conditional green card process. And how you do it is, in the I-751, just mention the name that you desire as her name. And I think there should be a place there that asks you for any other names used. That's where you can put her maiden name. Next question is KG Dubs. Living together or separate for citizenship? They have a scenario where wife goes to college in another city and he is in another city, about 2 hours away from each other. During the weekend, they live together in city X where he goes to school. I believe this should be considered to be living together, because the fact that you are physically not living together all the time is not because you don't want to, or because you have any divorce or separation kind of problem. It's because of your careers and your education. So I think you should be able to apply for citizenship after 3 years. Now, one thing I want you to remember, this question also is rather easy to answer, because if you file too early or they're not convinced that you're living together, it's not the end of the world. You can then file again after 5 years instead of 3 years. And after 2 more years, you could file again. I don't think it's going to be a problem. For the nolo pros, the disorderly conduct charge, that can become an issue. I don't know if USCIS can deny it based only upon that. Because remember, even if there is no formal conviction, good moral character can be looked at by USCIS from several angles. However, if it was a rather minor issue and you can explain it well, you should not have a problem. Even if they deny you citizenship, you can apply again later. Keep this in mind. So therefore, I don't see any harm in applying for naturalization at this point in time. Next question is Kimmy.Questions. AC portability and traveling outside USA. They have a valid EAD. I-140 is approved 2 years ago. Want to join a new company using my EAD. I believe the process requires I inform INS about my new employer. read my blog. There is actually no requirement that you inform INS, but usually it's a good idea. Once I file that, will my new employer have any control over my GC application? No. No. You can also, you're still free to move to another company anytime you want. Secondly, with a valid AP and EAD, how long can I stay outside USA? This is a very complicated question. Technically, with a valid AP, forget about the EAD if you're asking only about staying outside USA. With a valid AP, you can stay outside USA as long as your AP is valid. Okay? But the problem is this. Here you are telling the government that you have a permanent job in USA and then you end up spending 8 months in your home country, they could refuse to believe that you have a permanent job in the United States. That would be my concern. Next question is Sumanji, H-1B transfer in a peculiar situation. They are in India. They're working for one company. They're working for an Indian company, and they also have an H-1B approved by an American company. Now, they visited USA on behalf of their Indian company on a B-1 visa. So, at the port of entry, they noticed the H-1B, so they stamped on H-1B till October 2011. Now, I'm back in India, and I want to transfer my H-1B from U.S. firm to another firm, and then go to USA. That shouldn't be a problem at all. And in any case, they should not have considered you to be entering on an H-1. All that can be explained if questioned by USCIS. I don't see it as a problem for getting a transfer of an H-1. You should be able to get your transfer. And by the way, don't get confused by those words, fresh filing or transfer. They're all pretty much related, and one contains the other or is very close to the other. So with the same paperwork filing, you can get whatever is applicable to you. So don't worry too much about it. Let your lawyers handle it. Just make sure you explain to them what the situation is. Next question, Ram_law. 6th year of H-1B ending September 2010. He says, "Hi Rajiv, I talked about my issue on a previous call. I have a few questions as follow-up. I have a labor cert application pending from current employer filed on Feb 2009. 6 to 8 months stay outside USA during 5 years of my H-1B. Another company wants to hire me and he doesn't know how soon they'll start his green card process. If I accept the offer, assuming they get back my 6 to 8 month vacation." Oh, they will get back the vacation time. Anytime, even for 1 day, if you were outside USA on H-1, that 1 day belongs back to you. So there's no question. That's one thing that's been very clear in this, some of the latest developments in the law. One thing that was made clear a year or two ago was that any time outside USA can be recaptured. Just 1 second. I just want to make sure that everybody can still hear me. There have been a couple of times when I kept talking and I didn't realize, but people could not even hear me. Just 1 second. Everybody can hear me, right?
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to double check that. Thank you. I'm going to put you back on presentation mode. Once I finish my answering my questions, I'll open the floor for further questions. Just give me a second more. Oh, good. Everybody is here. So, going back to Ramla's question, doesn't know when will they start the LC process. You'll get your 6 to 8 months back, so that's good. What date or time should my LC application to be filed so that I have my GC application process started? Can I wait and make sure that the LC process is started before 365 days and then join that company? What if I get laid off by my future employer? Do I need to go back after my H-1B visa expiry? Okay, there is a bunch of issues here that I think need a little bit of discussion. First of all, what happens? You know that in order for you to extend your H-1 beyond 6 years based upon a green card, You can do it under two different provisions of the law, Section 104 and 106 of AC 21. One provision of the law says your labor cert must have been filed more than 1 year ago, and then you are entitled to 1 year extension of an H1, and you can keep repeating that. The second provision of law doesn't care when your labor cert was filed. It only says if your I-140 is approved and your priority date is backed up, we don't care when the labor cert was filed, you will keep getting H1 extensions on 3 year basis, which is a very good provision, and you know that you can do I-140 premium processing. So if by some hook or good luck, your labor cert goes through within a few months and then you can get your I-140 approval, then there is no problem at all. You keep getting H1 extensions on 3 yearly basis. Your question was concerning more how soon must I file. Well, I don't know the exact dates of your H1 expiration, etc. But let's say after capturing your 8 months or 6 months, we now have 14 months of H1 left. So obviously, in order for you to have no interruption in your work, your new employer must file your application no later than the 4th month, so that there is at least 12 months difference or time between when you file the application and when you will need the H-1, when you file the green card application and when you will need the H-1. So if there is 365 days remaining on your H-1 when your green card is filed, you are in good shape. But what if there is a 10-day gap? Well, you have to leave USA for 10 days. That's all. So let's say the employer is not able to file the application 365 days before your H-1 is expiring, but they can do it 355. So 10 days gap. What will happen is you will then leave USA towards the end of your H-1 once your H-1 expires. Stay out for 10 days. And once that 365-day mark is reached, you'll get your H-1 back again. Okay? There's a little bit more to it, but that's the basic idea. So that's not a big problem. Okay? I would certainly recommend that you get the new employer to start the labor cert as quickly as possible, and they can start it even with your H-1 and even before your H-1. That's no problem. Now, the question is, what happens if you get laid off? Well, like everybody else, if you get laid off before the I-140 is approved, you get nothing. You get nothing. And it'll be even difficult for you to get an H-1 transfer if the old employer withdraws your labor cert, because then INS will not give you a transfer for the time beyond 6 years, because your labor cert would no longer be pending. If, however, your I-140 is approved, then you will be entitled to 3-year H-1 extension, and you can do an H-1 to another company even though the green card I-140 was approved by some other company. Okay, so everything depends upon what stage of approval you are at. Next question, green_fever1. Do I need some paperwork and proof along with N-400? Just read the instructions on the form. That tells you what you need. Reggie Mill says, I'll be having an interview this 26th of January. I have not registered for selective services because it was an honest mistake. Would an apology letter that is notarized be sufficient? Just a letter on explanation is sufficient usually. If it states that you were not genuinely not aware of this requirement and that you would have registered had you known. In my experience, that has not been a problem. Be truthful. Tell them whatever the reason was. It says, last year when I was interviewed for citizenship, I got denied. I'm not sure why you got denied, what the reason was, but not registering for selective services, and if it was because of being unaware that this was a requirement, I don't think it would be a problem. Okay. So, basically, the poster, green_fever1, said, I'm confused, what is selective services? If I remember correctly, basically, Selective Services Commission is what you have to register for if you get your green card before the age of 26. But if you get it after the age of 26, you don't have to register. something like that. And if you did not know that this was a requirement, registration was a requirement, then you just give them an explanation, and usually that takes care of this problem. And if the explanation is, I didn't know this was a requirement, I'm finding out about this for the first time now, you're fine usually. Okay. Next question is SRP underscore 0929. Happy New Year to you too, sir. My question is about copies of documents. Do they have to be notarized? No. You do not need to notarize any documents, copies of any documents that you send with the form I-130. Ordinary copies are good enough, but do remember, INS can insist on seeing the originals. So no need to notarize. Next question, and I understand that your parents are in India and they'll do CP, no problem. Same answer. Next question, go Indy, says, I have a pending I-45, EAD AP have expired. I was always on H-1B. In 2009, left my job to pursue MBA. My wife has her own H-1. Now I want to do an internship in USA. Can I renew and use my EAD for the internship? And more importantly, once internship is over, how do I go back on H-4? The main issue is that my internship and subsequent job would be in finance, which is not related to computer programming. Okay. Well, I'm assuming that your 485 is still pending. If it is still pending, and you do intend to go join that same job or a similar job under AC-21, you could probably continue with that application and do your EAD, etc. But if you are not going to go back to the same job or a similar job, I do not believe it is proper for you to continue your 485 application. That should be withdrawn. If you have no intention of working in that field, that 485 should be withdrawn. And you can probably get post-completion practical training if you want. On H-4, you could do probably an unpaid internship, but you can't do a paid internship. And if you have 1 year of H-1B time left, you could even do, you could start your internship or your job on H-1B. But remember, then you would have no way of getting extension beyond that time. I hope you're on the phone. I think I have addressed most of your concerns, but if you have follow-up questions, let's talk about them. Next question is R. Vadavan. Revoke H-1B rehired. Okay. So his question was, he used to work for a university and it was a bad fit, so he was let go while he was on H-1. And I am now past the 180-day grace period. So revoked on 24th October 2008. Now that becomes a very, very complicated issue. If you are now past the 180-day period, that means technically if you left USA, you would be subject to a 3-year bar from re-entering USA. That means you can't come back for 3 years. And if you go on being unlawfully present in USA past 1 year, then you cannot come back for 10 years. Okay, now, I've always had a problem with unlawful presence as it applies to revoked H-1. Because in my view, a revoked H-1 should not trigger unlawful presence. I think it does, but it should not, and somebody needs to challenge it in court eventually. Okay, because here's the problem. Let's say that you, the employee, are let go by the employer. You have no way of knowing when the employer revokes your H-1. So you have no way of knowing when the 180-day begins to run. INS does not inform you. And for you to be held to this 3-year, 10-year bar becomes a real problem. So as the law stands, this is not an easy situation. You do need to get together with your lawyers and work this out. If you are past the 180-day grace period, not grace period, but 180-day unlawful presence period, then you've got a real problem. And the only argument or the only solution to this problem I can think of is if somewhere along the line this becomes an issue to take them, to take the government to court on over this. But talk to your lawyer, not an easy solution here. Next question, Ravi 7237. Re-entry permit and citizenship requirements. Can I apply for re-entry permit while being outside USA? No. If I use re-entry permit and enter USA after 1.5 years, will it break continuous residency requirements? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Re-entry permit does not protect you from breaking off the continuous residency requirements. N-470 does. If you have filed N-470, so look into the N-470. If you're going to work for an American company outside USA, you might be able to get an N-470. If yes, do I have to start from scratch again? You would have to start, I think you have to spend, if I remember correctly, 4 years and 1 day again before you become eligible for citizenship. What is the condition for breaking continuous residence? More than 1 year. More than 1 year. Can I file taxes during absent years and preserve continuous residency? Filing taxes, you are required to file taxes in USA or tax returns in USA, but that does not preserve your continuous residency. Next question, I-130 transfer to NBC before decision. I think, see, normal procedure is that, if I remember correctly, the National Benefits Center or the NBC does get involved with family-based cases. They also act as the clearinghouse for taking cases over to the local offices for interview, etc. So they kind of become the central place from where cases get sent to local offices. I think you should get the case tracked. So probably need to contact your congressman's office and ask them to check for you where the case is and why it is taking so long. Okay? That would be the best thing for you. Next question is IMM_help22, H4 to F1 conversion. Following question regarding my wife's status. She's presently on H4, but the visa is not stamped. She's planning to take classes at a community college starting spring 2010, and then fall she'll transfer to a master's program. She'll start taking classes in spring 2010 on H4, but would like to file for change of status to F1 to be eligible for practical training. Remember, for practical training for OPT, I think she needs 2 full semesters before she'll become eligible. So make sure that she's got those 2 full semesters and double check with the International Students Office on the requirements. I would like to get some feedback while converting from H4 to F1 and when it will be appropriate. Just make sure that she goes to school full time on F1 at least 2 semesters and double check that with the International Students Office. That's the most important thing. But as far as the stamping is concerned, of course, H4 stamping is a lot easier than F1 stamping. So keep that in mind as well. I hope that kind of defines the parameters for you. Stamping of H4 is easier than stamping of F1. She wants to get OPT, she must be on F1 for at least 2 full semesters. Next question is from Karthik, who says, porting of priority date from EB3 to EB2. My employer filed 2004 EB3 category. Labor and I-140 got approved. Applied 45. Same employer applied EB2, approved. Now they have filed I-140. Well, first of all, during the I-140, you should ask INS to transfer the priority date from your old case to new case. So when they issue the I-140 approval, it will have the priority date of, it will have EB2 category, but priority date of 2004. And you can also link the I-140 to the pending 485. That's called inter-filing. You can inter-file. That's not a problem. In whole porting process, if I need to use AC21, no. You don't need to use AC21 at all. This is inter-filing. If you don't want to use AC21, that's fine. Next question is from Suverne, who says, me and my husband got the green card recently. He is dependent on my I-485. He also has another 45 pending. That case is still pending. Just send in a withdrawal saying that his case has already been approved as a dependent. And you can attach a copy of the approval and say, kindly, we hereby withdraw the 485. You can also call USCIS customer service. Yeah. This is an easy enough problem to handle. Not a big deal. Next question is Suji Doodle, H1H4. My fiancé is in India. A company in USA has applied for a new H1 visa for her. We are getting married on the 7th. If we get the H1 approval before the wedding date, can I still bring her to US on H4? And then do a change of status? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. But remember, when you file for a change of status, it's like reopening the H1. So INS is free. If they wish to, they can decline or deny your H1 or her H1. So when you apply for a change of status, that is almost like reopening the case. B, if we get the H1 approval and she has it stamped and comes to USA, can we delay the start of employment by a couple of months after she comes to USA? Look, the employer is required to start her off no later than 30 days. But if she has a personal reason such as, I want to tour the United States, I've just gotten here, we want to take some time off for our time together with my newly wedded husband, I think she should be able to do that. I think a couple of months should not be a problem. But there's got to be a good reason for it. Next question, ZOZO quadruple zero, conditional green card. I was told that on the proposed immigration bill for 2010, once it gets through, they would approve conditional green card for 3+3 years for all approved EB visa petitions until the numbers get current. I have no idea. I haven't even looked at the bill. I am generally aware of what they are thinking. But our team, people were all gone during the vacations. I didn't feel like pulling anybody in. So we haven't really had a chance to update the website with the bill. And once the website is updated, I will then make my comments and you can read them then. The reason I don't start reading bills until a few weeks have passed is because most of these bills tend to fizzle out and die. By the time a bill begins and the bill ends, things have changed completely. So I tend not to spend too much time on just bills. Okay? Next question is apply GC for wife. I've had my permanent residency since April 2005. Wife is employed in the U.S. She's on H-1B. I'm not now planning to get naturalized. Once I get my citizenship, I would like to apply for her green card. Three questions. We got married in 2006 as per Indian custom. We did not register the marriage, so we do not have a marriage registration certificate. Well, listen, in India and in many other countries, marriages are performed under local rules and local rituals. In India, for example, you could get married under Hindu Marriage Act, or you could get married under Uniform Marriages Act, where you go to court and do it. Or Christian Marriage Act. Every religion has its own act under the Indian laws. So, if the marriage was legal in your home country, it will be considered legal in USA. You don't have to register anywhere. Okay? So, as long as you can prove the marriage, such as through pictures and people, affidavit who attended the marriage, and you know, you must have a certificate or some kind of a document from the, if you are a Hindu, from the Pandit or the priest who performed the ceremony, All these things together can prove that you are actually married without there being any special requirement of a registration. Number two, in the last 5 years, I had a couple of trips to India which lasted 3 to 4 months each. That's not a problem. As long as you meet the other requirements, 2.5 years physical presence, no trips outside for more than 6 months. Let's keep it simple. Let's say more than 6 months. You should be fine. Number three, what is the best time window when I can travel to India while the citizenship application is in process? You can go anytime as long as you're not going for more than 6 months. If you're just going for a few weeks, no problem at all. Anytime. Next question, Sham 23, infant child. In their case, what happened was they have a green card and their child was born in India in 2008. Well, here is the law as I recall it. And you can check with the local consulate. If after being in India, you are coming back to USA for the first time and the child is under the age of 2, they can be brought with you without any problem. Double check this with the consulate. I'm pretty sure that's the way it works. Okay, I'm done answering the questions. It took me a little longer than I had anticipated. But let me open the floor to questions. So people who have posted their questions and have follow-up, feel free to talk with me. Please press star 6 to talk with me.
Hey, Rajiv.
Go ahead, sir.
This is Naveen 256, question number 8.
What was your question about?
My wife's benching on H-1.
Yes, I remember.
I talked to my attorney and he said for the employer to give her a last paycheck this month.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually, I think as of today, it's been 8 months since she's out of work.
Mm-hmm.
Since she's not been officially terminated, employer has not withdrawn the H-1. Should she get a last paycheck? Because if I try to convert to H-4 along with my H-1 extension,
mm-hmm.
Will they ask for a last paycheck?
Okay, now I haven't understood the advice of the lawyer here. What is the lawyer saying again?
He advised the employer to generate a last paycheck for this period, January 1 through 15.
Okay, I'm not sure what is in the lawyer's mind, but if you intend to generate just one pay stub,
mm-hmm.
and then go to INS and say, look, she's maintaining status,
mm-hmm.
to me, that could be called fraud upon the U.S. government.
Okay.
Think about it. What you're trying to do is you're trying to hide the fact that for 8 months you were not paid.
Right.
Okay. Now that, to me, is fraud. And if your lawyer is advising that, he should be reported to the government.
Okay.
Okay?
So,
they're encouraging you to practice fraud upon the government. Best thing for her is to step outside USA, get an H-4 visa stamp and come back.
So she just steps outside using her current H-1, goes there and applies for an H-4?
Stepping outside does not require a visa or an H-1. Basically,
okay.
She comes back on H-4 and then she can reapply for an H-1 again. She's not subject to the quota, so it's no problem.
Even though she's been, I think, close to 5 months, 5 months out of status.
So what? That's not a bar for her H-4 stamping.
So should she apply for a H-1-H-4 conversion here and take it to the consulate?
My problem is if she does that here,
mm-hmm.
She's likely to be denied unless she has a good reason.
Okay.
Okay. Now, if she had a medical reason, for example, there was some specific medical conditions. I have done an H-1 to H-4 transfer, I've mentioned this before,
mm-hmm.
of somebody who was not on H-1, not getting paid for over 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was closer to 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to get a successful H-1 to H-4 transfer because we were able to show that this girl was so fit.
Mm-hmm.
That she had gone from, 130 pounds to 65 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And she was in hospital constantly. She was under the treatment of 6 different doctors.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why she couldn't go to work. For 2 years, she couldn't work.
Okay.
So INS gave her the H-1 to H-4 transfer within USA.
Okay.
For somebody like your wife, first thing is never ever try to play all these fancy games with the government where you generate one paycheck and go to the government and say, well, here she is maintaining status. Because that's a fraud. Okay. Basically, we are trying to misrepresent the situation to the government. We are telling them that she's in status and she's not. Even versus those situations where sometimes, I know that most people are not doing it, but sometimes people even do this. Employers will tell you that, oh, we'll issue you a pay stub, but you've got to give the money back to us.
Right.
Okay. That to me is a felony. Because basically you're signing these papers under penalty of perjury. Perjury is a felony. And you're saying that I'm in status, and you're really not in status.
Okay.
Okay. So the way to go is, I think, to go back to India and go get the H-4 stamp.
So she just takes an appointment for H-4 from here, goes there and says...
Whatever they ask her, she answers truthfully. 5 months I haven't worked. Some of those, at that time I was on maternity leave. Rest of the time, they didn't have a job for me, and that's the way it is. Give me my H-4.
Oh, okay. So she should go back within the 180 days after the...
Yeah, that's one thing I'm concerned about. I'm assuming for this discussion that she's never had a problem with her I-94, that her I-94 was valid all the way.
Yes,
as long as her I-94 was valid, whether she was out of status for 5 months or 10, it doesn't matter.
Okay. Yeah, it's still valid. It's valid until September or October of this year.
Then don't worry. She's going to be fine.
So she can go anytime and then get it done?
Hi, Rajesh. Santosh here.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome. Santosh, go ahead.
Yes, you answered my question basically with my spouse problem. When I am planning to switch from H-1 to F-1, we found that her extension was never done by my employer or the attorney. So based on the advice from you or some other colleagues who were in similar situation, we just decided that she goes to India. I think that's what you also suggested.
Unlawfully present only for 54 days, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, then it shouldn't be a problem.
So my question is basically, now she is in India. I got just yesterday appointment in Delhi consulate on 13th. But my problem is my H-1 is expiring actually on 10th February this year, which is just 1 month or few days.
Have you applied for an extension of your H-1?
Actually, I cannot because I am at my sixth year, and I am planning to join this MBA, the course which was starting from 19th January. So I was all set to file my F-1. That's when I found that I have my spouse problem.
Santosh, then it doesn't make sense for you to apply for her to apply for an H-4 because there's so little time left, only till February. Then what you should do is, if it is possible for you, you could probably go to India, get your F-1 visa stamping, her F-2 visa stamping at the same time.
Okay,
Or you could apply for change of status to F-1. You'll have to wait there for however many months it takes, 5-6 months, for you to get the F-1. And then when she goes for the F-2 stamping, the consulate can still insist that they want you to get F-1 visa stamping.
Okay, so... Now she's already in India, and I have taken the emergency appointment on 13th January, thinking that they may give her, if she says that she has to leave the country in such urgency that she found out that she's not having status.
There is no harm in trying that, but just don't lie to them about anything. Whatever they ask, if they ask why are you going for such short period, you should tell them that, you know, his H-1 is expiring, after that he's trying to go to school.
But other thing you suggested is about my change of status. I should not be really doing it alone. Sometimes it becomes tricky.
Under your circumstances, Santosh, you have only two choices. You can either do a change of status to F-1 here in USA, or go get your visa stamping from outside US.
Actually, as you could think, it is easy to do it here, so that's what I was planning to do to begin with.
It's not easy, but it's safer. Usually it's safer.
Okay. Right.
Because consulates have a very strange way of looking at people, and sometimes the best applications get denied. So chances are that you get a little bit better, treatment at the hands of the USCIS. More fair. Okay,
right.
But the problem is, one, it will take a lot of time, and two, that even if you get the F-1, when she goes for F-2, if she doesn't get the H-4. If she goes for F-2, they can insist, well, before we stamp F-2, he must get his F-1 visa.
Okay. So we haven't done anything yet. I'm yet to file my F-1 as I was waiting for some...
Bottom line. Let's do it this way. Let's have her go for the H-4C if she gets it.
Sure.
In the meantime, you go ahead and apply for your change of status to F-1. No problem.
Alone?
Yes, alone.
Okay.
If she gets the H-4, tell her to come right away, not to wait, because if by any chance your F-1 gets approved, then she can't enter USA.
Right. No, it will not be approved in a week, because I will be booking her ticket. As soon as I hear that in Delhi consulate is approved, she will come back.
So she comes back, and she comes back, you apply for her F-2, even while your F-1 is pending.
Okay.
Now, the second situation is, she does not get her H-4 stamping. Then she waits there.
Right.
Go ahead and get your change of status done. Remember, you can always change your mind. At any point of time, you can just go to India and get your visa stamping, even though the change of status is pending here.
Yes. But my lawyers are advising to wait for her to come back, assuming that she's getting her F-4, and they are holding my paper for change of status, telling that we will not file, we will file it together so it becomes easy down the line for you guys. I'm not convinced.
In your situation, I don't see any point in doing that.
So, no need to wait for me, for my F-1. Let her go through whatever, happens,
But Santosh, when is her appointment for?
I have got 13 January, a week from now. Yes.
So, just one more week. Wait for her, see what happens anyway.
Okay, thank you. I will do that. Thank you.
Good luck. Good luck.
Hi, Rajiv. Manoj.
Yes, Manoj, go ahead.
Hi, Rajiv.
Rajiv, this is Anuj.
Anuj, go ahead.
Rajiv, my question, you answered my question, AKM0048, regarding whether to bring my wife on a B1, B2, or H4.
Yes, I remember your question also.
The reason why, I might not be able to free out time to have an appointment. But as of now, she genuinely doesn't intend to stay here for a long time. The reason being, I'm at a very extremely cold place, and she just wants to come here for like a couple of months and then go back and then wait for me to move to a warmer area. And then she'd like to come here for a long time. So is that possible, and how do I prove that intention at the port of entry?
Anushab, I have two comments for you, one professional and one personal.
Right.
Can I make both comments?
Sure.
Professional comment is very simple. Tell the truth and hope for the best.
Okay.
That, he lives in a very cold place. I'm not going to stay there. She sounds like a Bombay girl.
Yeah, kind of.
Because people from temperate weather find it very cold here. They find it very difficult.
Right.
Second, Anushad ki kaisi wife hai aapki, jo ki aapko chhod ke, sardi ke karan chhod ke bhaag rahi hai wapas.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it makes, I don't know what to say, but...
No, I'm just kidding. But I think that's a good reason. A lot of people who come from India from the more temperate weather, they find it very, very difficult.
Yeah, well...
Get adjusted. I know my family, a lot of people from my family, when they come, they make sure they leave before the winter starts.
Well, and I'm at the coldest metropolitan area in the U.S., and it's like very freezing here. I don't know. And I just moved here, actually, so it's not even her fault.
I think it's a good enough reason. I don't see why.
Okay, and the second question which I had is, suppose she goes to India for, while she's in India, she goes for an H-4 stamping. So will they take her passport and cancel the existing B-1, B-2 first, even before they approve the H-4?
Usually they are they're supposed to do that, but 9 times out of 10 they don't.
Oh, okay. Right, and then if I come here on a B-1, B-2, and within like a couple of months, I get a job at a warmer place. Can I go to the Canadian consulate to get her H-4 stamped on the passport, or do we need to get back to India to get an H-4 stamp?
You can go to Canada.
Oh, okay, cool.
Another interesting thing I'll suggest to you.
Right.
Usually, the people who decide upon who can enter and who cannot enter is the CBP, right?
Okay.
CBP.gov is their website.
Okay.
Okay. You call CBP, their customer service is excellent.
Right. And what do you suggest me to ask them?
Yeah. Explain to them the situation that it's okay for her to enter on a B1, B2. Note down what they say.
Right.
And tell your wife that if CBP questions are at the border, she should also say that, by the way, my husband called them on XYZ date at XYZ time and
right.
spoke with ABC officer, and this is what they told me.
Okay, so note down the particulars of the call made and the comments
yeah.
made by them.
So that she knows, she should be able to further argue with them that she should be allowed to enter because she's not doing anything illegal, and you
right.
should double check with CBP anyway.
Okay, and one more, adding to the case, well, I was actually, my employer was, you know, kind of on the verge of shutting down the company, so I wasn't paid for like three and a half months, for which they are still paying me in installments, but I changed my job last month, and that is the reason why I moved here. Will that be a problem in H4 stamping?
It should not be, because
okay.
here's the way I look at this situation. Number one, you were not out of status because you performed the work.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Right.
The fact
and the company is actually, officially, it is shutting down.
Okay, the fact that you were not paid is not because you did not work or because there was no work. It is because the employer could not afford to pay you. But they
right,
are now
right.
paying you and they are making do with whatever they've got. So
yep.
I don't think you should be considered to be out of status. So I don't think it should
okay.
be.
Right, so that shouldn't be a cause to worry about.
No.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot, Rajiv.
Good luck, Anuj.
Thank you.
Hey,
bye-bye.
Rajiv, this is Shyam.
Yes, Shyam.
Shyam, actually, I just entered into the conference. Did you answer my child's problem, like we had to bring the child back to U.S.?
And
actually,
Shyam,
I
have already answered that question, and the answer was, and I'll just repeat it for your benefit, but, you know, try to be more timely, please. The answer was that if a child is born to U.S. green card holders outside U.S.
We don't have green card. We are still the pending. The green card is still pending for us.
Are you on H-4? What is your current status?
I'm an EAD.
Okay, I'm sorry. My understanding was that you were already on green card. But
no.
You should apply for a tourist visa for the child.
Tourist visa? They'll give the tourist visa for the child?
Yes, sir, they should.
You mean the B2 visa?
Yes, sir, they should.
Okay. That's what I want.
Yep.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Rajiv.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
This is Kartik.
Kartik, go ahead.
Yeah, question number 26.
Just remind me what is the question.
EB3 to EB2. Actually, my lawyer said once I get my 140 approved with EB2, then we can port to EB3 dates. That's what he was suggesting me.
Well, they must have a reason for suggesting that. But
okay,
in our office, our procedure is always we apply for a transfer of priority date when we file the I-140. It just makes a whole lot more sense.
Okay, so is there any problem if I go with my lawyer consult?
No,
I
think that should be okay too. But
that
it
should be okay too.
It's simply less complicated to do it the way we do it. But that's my opinion. It doesn't have to be, you know, that's not the only way to do it. Your lawyer is not wrong. It's just that I like to get it done as early as possible.
Okay. Another question is the second question I asked. Say during the porting process, suppose if I want to change the job, can I use the AC-21 benefits?
During the porting process, well, let's look at the law. I-140 approved and 485 pending 180 days. Once your
yeah.
I-140 is approved and it gets attached to the 485. Once
okay.
the filing is done, I have no problem with you using your
AC-21. No, I'm more concerned about the EB2. Suppose that EB2 I-140 approved, and then while porting that I-140 with 485, whether I can legally join any other company.
I think you can. It just creates a practical complication. That's the reason, part of the reason why I want to get the I-140 attached or interfiled as quickly as possible.
Okay.
So in my view, doing an AC-21 after a reasonable period of having filed for the interfiling should be okay. But as a practical matter, it's a little dangerous. Not because ultimately you won't win, but because INS can, by mistake, create problems for you. Ultimately, you'll be okay.
Okay. The other question is, final question is, so suppose in case my porting is not doing well, okay, can I file again another 485 with the EB2 priority date, which comes current?
You can always file a new 485, yeah.
So what about the existing 485?
But remember one thing, you will not be able to use AC21 until that 485 has been pending 180 days, the new one.
Okay.
What happens to the existing 485? Well, that question has been raised several times. We have filed multiple 485s for many of our clients. We've never had a problem.
Okay.
INS doesn't like it, and they have told us that don't do it. But as long as it is legal and it gives me some benefit, there is no reason why I won't do it.
Oh, okay. So the porting won't be a problem, correct?
There are two things here, porting and interfiling. Porting is merely change of priority date. That shouldn't be a problem. Interfiling is knocking off the old I-140 and putting the new I-140 on top of the 485.
Okay.
Both of them should be okay.
Okay, sure. Thanks for your...
Hi, Rajiv. This is Zuzu.
Yes, sir.
Rajiv, my 485 is pending. I'm EB3 applicant.
Hang on 1 second. Have you posted a question, sir?
Yeah, Zuzu 0000.
Okay, just 1 second. I just want to husband my time a little bit. Guys, does anybody else have any more questions?
Hi,
one more question, Mr. Khanna.
Okay, two or three questions left. I have to run to another appointment, but I will finish. I have about 10 or 15 more minutes at the most.
Okay.
So, Zuzu, go ahead, please. What was your question?
Okay. I have my EB3 pending, 485 pending EB3. What exactly does approved EB visa petition mean?
Approved EB visa petition. Look, visa petition is an I-140.
Okay.
If that's what you're asking. Because
yeah.
In this whole process, form is not a visa petition. 485 is not a visa petition. I-140 is the only thing that's called a visa petition in this process.
Okay, so that was my question, like, for the immigration bill 2010, so.
Oh, okay. No, I haven't even looked at it. You see, I look at these things very pragmatically. I'm not a law professor. I'm a lawyer. I have so much work to do that I don't want to spend time going into the history of a bill when I know that that bill is going to be changed so many times and so much by the time it gets done. I mean, I'll do it if, you know, some newspaper calls and says they want some comments. I'll take a quick look at it and, you know, give them my comments. But I don't usually spend a lot of time on it until it's getting somewhere.
Okay.
Hello, Raju.
Okay, yep.
Okay, thanks.
Hello, Raju. This is Sai.
Sai, go ahead.
Hi. I have a question number 7. I was joined late for this meeting, so I missed your answer.
Guys, don't do that to me. I keep repeating my answer. You're the second person who's telling me that. Don't do that to me. This call is being recorded. You can listen to the recording. But go ahead. What was your question? I'll give you a brief answer.
Regarding H4 to F1 and 485 question. Yes, I am a child of 16 years and
I have already answered that question. So listen to it, please, because that's a long answer. I can't summarize it for you.
Okay. All right.
Just listen to it. We'll have the recording available by tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Good luck.
Rajiv,
this is this is the first question. If you want to take it,
just remind me what is the question.
No, I haven't posted the question. This is the
okay.
Second
hang
question.
On 1 second. Then let me just see who else has a question for me.
Hey, Rajiv.
Yes, sir.
This is Naveen 256 again. I was waiting until everybody finished with their questions. I had one other quick question on the wife's H4.
Okay.
My H1 is dated until May 31st of this year, but then the 6 years from the original H1 is up January 23rd, so I'm applying for an extension right now.
Okay.
And so I was wondering how that works when she goes to get her H4 stamped. Does she take my current H1 that's until May 31st?
You should file your papers, premium processing, get the approval, then send her the new approval.
Okay.
Okay.
Or can she wait a couple of months before she goes?
Can she wait a couple of months before she goes? Sure. It's up to her. She's already outside USA, no problem.
No, she's not. She's here.
How many days has she been unlawfully present?
5 months.
5 months unlawfully present or out of status?
Out of status.
Her I-94 is still valid.
Yeah, I-94 is valid.
Okay, well, let me tell you this. If you're out of status, technically you are deportable. If
okay.
somebody catches her on the street, they can deport her, then she can't come back for 5 years.
Okay.
As a practical matter, that doesn't happen, but the possibility still remains.
Okay.
Okay? So it's best to leave as soon as possible, in my opinion.
Okay. But if she leaves within the next week or so and my premium is not done, I guess she can use my current H-1 until May end.
Yeah, but that's such a short period. Sure, she can do that, and they should give her the visa for that much time.
And then she'll come back here and again refile H-4.
She'll file for an H-4 extension.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right, thanks for that.
You're welcome. I've got one more question. Go ahead.
Question. My ID was IMM_help22.
Okay.
Regarding the H-4 to F-1 conversion.
All right.
I guess the two options we're going between is, one, you know, she's starting classes. I understand the two-semester rule for OPT, which is not the concern right now.
Okay.
Concern is whether we should do the change of status right now and, in the next 1 month, hoping that approval will come in the next 2 or 3 months and go to India in summer and get the stamping done.
There's no way. Wait. You're getting an F-1, right?
Well, she's on H-4 right now. She's got the change of status.
First of all, let me clarify something for you. First of all, in order to get an F-1 or an H-4, these are the visas where you don't need a prior approval from INS. All she needs is her I-20. So if she leaves to India and gets an F-1 visa stamping tomorrow, it's no problem. H-1, L-1, some of these visas you need first INS approval. So she could go anytime she wants to and get an F-1 visa stamping.
So it's having the change of status approval versus going directly to the consulate to get the visa.
Exactly. You need one or the other. You don't need both.
Okay. So she could essentially go to India in summer and get F-1 stamped instead of H-4 stamped.
Absolutely.
Well, my question is if F-1 gets denied for some reason,
mm-hmm.
can she then go to the embassy consulate again in 2 weeks or whenever she gets the appointment to get
H-4
stamped?
Same day. She could try it same day, say, give me H-4 if you're denying my F-1.
With the H-4 approval.
Absolutely.
But since she has...
Again, you don't need an H-4 approval.
But she already has the H-4 approval in hand.
But she does have it good, but she doesn't need it.
Okay. So... Okay. Got it. Or would you recommend coming back on H-4 and then applying for change of status to F-1? I'm just debating between...
As long as you have the time, sure, do it. That's the best way to do it.
And then next time she travels, she gets her stamping done.
Absolutely.
Okay. And then would they, if F-1 gets denied, if she has an H-4 stamp, do they cancel the H-4 also, or can she then come back on H-4?
Normally they do, but if they do, what do we care? If she can reapply for the H-4, if they deny, she goes applies for F-1, they cancel the H-4 stamp, she can always reapply for the H-4 stamp again.
Okay.
No problem.
Got it. Thank you.
All right, sir. Folks, I'll have a couple of minutes more if anybody has any questions.
Mr. Rajiv, this is Deve.
You still have a lot of questions. Hang on 1 second. Let me see if I can delay my other stuff. Just give me 1 second, okay? I'll be right back. Go ahead, please. Hello,
sir,
go ahead.
This is Kumar.
Mr. Kumar, go ahead, please.
Yes, this is so I was let go by a company, and I noticed on USCIS website that the petition has been under review. So does this mean that the company has revoked the H-1B petition? If so, what would be the compensation?
I do not know the answer to
meanwhile,
that.
Meanwhile,
I do not know the answer to that. You may want to call the customer service.
Okay. And meanwhile, I also applied for H-1 transfer from that company to another company, and I had an RFC on that, and I do not have sufficient documents for that, so I'm fearing a rejection on that. And I'm also planning for my wife's H4 to F1 transfer. So should I typically wait until her, like my H1 transfer is being visited, or wait for the result on that, or I can go ahead and do that H4 to F1 transfer now? Because I heard that USCIS typically waits until a petition is made on one petition. Then
that's right. They will not issue a subsequent status until the issue of the previous status has been settled.
Okay, but if I hear a rejection on my petition, I would immediately become out of
status. You'll be out of status. You'll probably be required to go outside USA to get your H-4 visa stamp.
Okay, so in that case, my wife needs to go out of the country to get F-1 stamp?
Yes, sir.
That's what you said. Okay, and I also have, I'm also planning for another H-1 visitation. So, does this scenario apply for my situation as well? I'll wait until I hear something on this petition and then go out of the country and get stamped on the new H-1B filing?
I'm confused about your second part of the question. You said you are in the same situation?
So what I'm asking... So my another petition is my H-1B, new H-1B filing is under review. That's in process.
But you already stopped working at that company, right?
The first company I stopped working, I joined another company and I filed a premium petition, and that's under review. And for that, I had an RFP to be filed under recently.
Was there any gap between your status with the first company and your application with the second company?
Weeks time.
Even if there is one day's time, they can deny your status. Okay, it's up to INS. It's totally up to them whether they want to give you the status or not. So my concern is that you may be accruing unlawful presence. You should talk with your lawyers. This is something I cannot discuss in a 5-minute call. You need to make sure that you are not accruing unlawful presence. That there is no gap in your H-1 I-94s, and that the petition was not withdrawn by the earlier company. So look into all these things. Personally, if there is, as far as I know, INS is not very forgiving even for one day's gap. If you have 1 week gap, chances are you're already out of status. They're not going to give you status within USA, so you should plan accordingly.
Okay.
I'm sorry to be telling you that, but
Hello, Raj.
So, talk with your lawyers what they suggest. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is Sai for DC. I'm sorry, I have a continued question, one for my question which is posted on that one.
Okay.
So, it is a very quick question. Like, if a citizen is there, so can he file for his sister who is already married as a dependent?
Can a citizen file for a sister who is already married? Yes, but it takes 10 years.
Okay. Good
luck.
Hello, Mr. Rajiv. This is Devin.
Yeah.
Mike, I have two questions. One is my 6 years of H-1 are done, and my company has applied for extension right now. So, they got an RIC saying that I might have to go outside the country to get the stamping done. So does that mean I have to go to India or can I go to Canada?
Usually that means you have been out of status. And if you have been out of status, usually you cannot go to a third country, usually. So it is best to go to India.
Even though my 485 and AOS is pending?
Your AOS 485 is pending?
Yeah, it is pending since more than 2 years.
Then it should be okay. You can go to a third country. You've not been out of status. You were an authorized period of stay.
Yeah, I was out of status as far as my immigrant status is concerned, but my OS is pending. So in that case, my concern was I don't want to go to India all the way.
Then you can go to Canada or Mexico.
Canada or Mexico. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck. Folks, are we done?
Excellent.
Rajay, this is Kumar again. This is regarding my wife's H4 to F1 transfer. Because F1 petition is an independent petition, what I'm asking is, I'm planning to transfer my wife's H4 to F1. F1 petition itself is an independent petition, right? Because petition and... can I still go ahead and file for that petition even though my H1B petition is still in process?
H4 status is only as good as your H1 status.
Yeah.
If your H1 status is in doubt, then her H4 status is in equal doubt.
Okay.
That can become a problem. Although INS may or may not notice it, that is something you have to think about. These are some of the things that I can bring to your attention. I don't know how many of these things INS will make an issue of. Okay. Well, folks, I really do have to run now. I wish you the very best of luck and a happy new year. Thank you for being here. Bye-bye.